Welcome along. It's been another round of international football. Well done to Spain, annoying their way to Euro 2020 qualification. We'll talk about that for a bit. We've also got your questions. Thank you to everybody who's been in touch with us via our La Liga Weekly Twitter account. My account is still blocked. Rebecca Vardy and I have clubbed together to find out who hacked our accounts and has been sending out La Liga goals using Rebecca's account. Who thought that could have happened? Right, Terry Gibson is here. He's a hot foot from commentating on Spain's progress. They got through against Sweden. You know what, Terry? Spain are annoying, aren't they? They could be so good, but they tantalise you. They tease you every game they play.
Yeah, I mean, in particular, the game against Sweden, they started off really well, really bright. Robin Olsen in goal made four or five really good saves, and it looked inevitable that Spain were going to score. It looked inevitable that Spain were going to win. And then all of a sudden, I think there's an element now of teams, particularly Sweden, because they've got a lot of late 20s, early 30s players that have been beaten up by Spain in the past. And it took 25 minutes before they realised, hang on, there's no Iniesta, there's no David Silva, David Villa, Fabregas, Busquets, Piqué. And they actually looked as if they thought they could get at Spain and be more competitive, be more aggressive. And it almost paid off. If I'm being honest, I thought Sweden should have won the game. But it is frustrating. The frustration from my point of view comes from a coaching perspective now of not having any idea really of, and I think most people will agree, what the squad is going to be, what the team is going to be, what system they're going to play. They're meandering through a qualification process when they could have used it to start to bed down a team and a squad. And it's always a surprise when you see players left out, a surprise when you see some players included. Players are coming back from previous international careers that we thought were over. And there doesn't seem to be any direction. So I think Robert Moreno will be grateful they got the point that gets them through. And also on the back of performing poorly against Norway, six changes made from between the two games. I think it might have been a game that might have had consequences if they had lost to Sweden. Because of the direction the national team is going in, we know about the tragic situation in which how Robert Moreno was made manager, but there is an element of it's the man's first job as manager, and we're no wiser in knowing whether he's going to be up to the job. Now, the World Cup was a little bit of a mess for Spain, if we're being honest. With Lopetegui leaving, Hierro coming in, clearly wasn't the right man to be manager. It was a decent attempt from him to do the right thing and to be the right place at the right time and almost babysit the team. But you do wonder whether they do need a proper manager in charge now.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, it's nobody's fault. As you say, tragic, genuinely tragic circumstances in which he came in.
The worst kind. You can imagine anything.
Yeah.
But he
can't not ever make a decision. It made perfect sense, didn't it, not to have a selection process when Luis Enrique had decided to stand down.
Yes, after the Malta game, particularly when he vacated the position to quite rightly do what he had to do. And everybody hoped, although we didn't know at the time what was happening, regarding his daughter and his private life and his family. But I think everybody hoped that it would resolve itself and he would come back as manager. So the right thing to do at that time was to let Robert Moreno have the job. But the appointment was made quick as he was made permanent manager. But it remains to be seen. Perhaps now this will focus his mind and he'll start picking a squad that has some consistency. Because we literally don't know who's going to be in the squad. And it's been a case they've cruised through the qualification and no one's really cared. But I think the draw against Norway, a late equaliser against Sweden, might just focus the minds of everyone involved that don't waste the opportunity that they've got to, you know, try out new players, try out systems. But I think it was the 50th new cap tonight, Gerard Moreno. They've had nine central defenders in an attempt to find one to play with Ramos. Seven of those have been capped, two haven't been capped yet. But the selection process is rather strange and it needs to calm down now.
How good are Spain? How good could they be if they sort
they
these
things
out?
Yeah. They could win it. They're a million miles away from it at the moment. But if you look at the players that weren't in the squad, that could be in the squad, some for one reason or another. I've got a list of the players. Jordi Alba, I think he'll come back in. He's been injured, although he's fit at the moment. Gaia would be back up to Jordi Alba, so therefore Bernat was playing, but Gaia's injured. Even someone like Azpilicueta could be used to the squad. Dani Parejo, Isco, Alcacer, Morata, Asensio will be fit and healthy by then. Aspas, Koke doesn't get a look in. And you had the likes of Busquets and Saul that were on the bench against Sweden. So there is sufficient quality there. I look at France's squad that won the World Cup. And if you get the right form at the right time, get a bit of belief, confidence, you have to be solid at the back. I think Spain have the players. The vacancy is alongside Ramos, isn't it, to play and replace Piqué. That's an issue. But you look at the likes of Busquets, Rodri, Saul, Koke. A lot has been made about the fact that there's only one Real Madrid player, no Barcelona players in the starting 11, very few Atletico Madrid players. But you could get near to filling an 11 of players that play for those three highly successful clubs that are used to winning. They have that winning mentality. Players maybe then that like Rodri is playing for Man City now. So the quality is there of maybe 18, 20 players. But what we're seeing is they're probably using, as I said, 50 players so far. And that's too much. It needs to settle down.
Anam says, can Pau Torres replace Ramos in the national team? And Lucas says, Sergio Ramos, does he have enough time to break the all-time caps record of 184?
Well, he's going to try everything he can. I mean, there's talk of him playing in the Olympics as well.
You don't count as full caps.
Someone better tell him. He's going all out. Well, to be fair, he's won everything else there is. And yeah. I guess an Olympic gold medal, if he feels they got a chance, then there's something else to go for. I don't blame him. Has he got enough time? Yeah, I think so. I think we've seen his desire to keep playing for Spain. When others have retired, he's still there. He loves leading the team. And he never misses a game, does he? Apart from when he's suspended, of course.
Yeah, which happens quite a lot, doesn't it? Right, shall we crack on with a couple of questions before we do a break. Let's do Real Madrid, shall we?
Yep.
James Geraghty says, actually, this is not a Real Madrid question. But anyway, let's ask it. Hi, lads. How are you enjoying La Liga season so far? Strange that Real Madrid competing for a title. Or is that too soon? Will the Clásico determine that? So he basically wants a bit of a summary for La Liga.
The Clásico won't determine it. The first one's always too early.
Yeah.
It can cost managers their jobs, which has happened in the past, if the result goes the wrong way. I kind of feel that we haven't got any momentum yet in La Liga. We started in Spain a week later than the Premier League.
Yeah.
We've had two international breaks. We've had important players missing through injury, the likes of Hazard for Real Madrid, Messi and Suarez, Dembele and co for Barcelona. Atletico Madrid with a new team haven't really hit their strides yet. And my one concern would be the teams just below them that I was hoping were going to be successful and have really good seasons are just starting to fall away already. It's too early to say fall away, but Sevilla, we've lost a couple. Real Sociedad looked bright, they've lost a couple. Athletic Bilbao have lost a couple. Villarreal a little bit hit and miss at the moment. Betis are underachieving. I was hoping that we were going to get those four, five, six. Valencia, another one that's been inconsistent. So I was hoping we were going to get better from that group of teams, which would really make... I think we're going to have a good title race, but I was hoping that there would be half a dozen games home and away for the title challengers, which will be the big three, where they could come unstuck. And those teams like Villarreal, Valencia, Betis, Sevilla, Athletic Bilbao, Real Sociedad could have been the teams that, you know, in the past that hasn't always been the case. But I was hoping this year, if Real Madrid go to Real Betis, it's going to be a really tough game. If Barcelona have to go and play, well, we've already lost to Athletic Bilbao, go and play, you know, against away from home against Sevilla, that would be a tough game. So that's my hope for this season, that we're going to have teams challenging Getafe for the top four.
my wish would be that at least you have a title race. I mean, my second most important thing for me is that one of those teams, one of the princes, not the kings of Spanish football, are genuinely in with the chance of finishing in that top three. That would be good. Not really much sign of that, as you say, at the moment. But the main thing is that Barca have been too strong for Real Madrid. Real Madrid have made too much of a mess of recent seasons, haven't they? So you want a Real Madrid that challenges for the league genuinely, and ideally an Atleti as well, a proper title race. We need this year.
To go beyond March.
Yeah.
And that's the last two seasons, that hasn't been the case. It's been that early.
Yeah.
And, pardon me, it kind of gives a poor reflection on a league where Barcelona are playing their reserves for the last five or six games because they're still involved in the Champions League. And that's what's happened in the last two seasons. So, I hope that at the very least we have a title race, which I think we will this season. Now, I would still make Barcelona favourites. I think they're, so far this season, they struggled, particularly away from home. But we have to make allowances for the fact that important players have been missing. From Real Madrid, we're still learning. I think it's 1 minute they're brilliant, literally in the same game. They're racing to a 3-goal lead and allow teams the opportunity to creep back into the game and be hanging on at the end. That was the case in the last game, so against Granada. So, I think there's a lot to learn from Real Madrid. I'm looking forward to seeing Hazard back to his best. I think he could be a game changer for Real Madrid. I think the front line of Benzema, Hazard and Bale is as good as anywhere in the world if they're on form, fit and healthy. I'm hopeful that it's going to be a much more interesting season than we've had in the last couple.
Gary asks a good question, actually. Do you think the power has switched from La Liga to the Premier League with European domination, or was last season a one-off?
I wouldn't know. We had the quite recently, where two German teams were in the final.
Yeah.
And everybody thought that was the case then, and it wasn't. It went on to kickstart another period of domination from Barcelona, Real Madrid, Sevilla, Atletico Madrid winning European trophies. So my personal opinion, if I'm being honest, I think there's only two good teams in the Premier League anyway. And that's not being harsh. I think most people would agree that Liverpool and Manchester City are, as proved last season, already proven again this season, that similar to in La Liga, too many teams disappoint. And if you look at the league table, we can go through, everybody expects it to be Chelsea, we're not doing bad this year. Everybody expects it to be Arsenal. They're not a force to be reckoned with at the moment. The club I support, Tottenham Hotspur, are massively underachieving and have problems. So it might be a season this year where someone like West Ham, Leicester, can genuinely get into the top four. Now that would make it interesting, be a wake-up call for the clubs in the Premier League that are spending literally hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds and still not looking particularly good. So, it could be every chance again that we have an all English final. I think it's very unusual to have four finalists
in the Europa two League competitions. Well. Yeah.
That doesn't happen in my recollection ever. So that was a massive step forward for the Premier League. But I think we need more better teams in the Premier League. It could be PSG's year next year. It could be, Juventus.
Yeah, it's a knockout competition.
It's a knockout competition. Yeah. And I think that we have to reserve judgment on that until a period of domination isn't one season.
No.
That's ridiculous. Isn't it? The Spanish teams, was it nine out of ten?
10 years, basically, of Spanish domination, wasn't it? One thing, see what you think of this theory. I wonder whether the Premier League, La Liga, has almost flipped over from about 10 years ago, was it, when, before Simeone's Atletico, you could accuse the Spanish league of being a two-horse race.
It was.
When they were getting 90-odd points.
It was.
Yeah, 100 points.
It came down to the Clásicos.
Yeah, yeah. And
Pellegrini's year was unlucky, wasn't it?
Yeah, nearly got 100 points and he hadn't got sacked.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking at the Premier League and I'm thinking, Liverpool and Man City. You start there. I mean, Man City have started the season. The trouble with all this inequality that you get in all of these leagues, that Bayern Munich look like they're going to dominate Juventus, and you're desperately hoping that a team emerges and plays well. Only needs one team, as we found in Spain last season. Say Real Madrid have a stinker, and as you say, the league's gone by March.
Yeah.
In the Premier League, if Man City lose another couple of games,
it's done,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And there are too many leagues, aren't there? Where it's just too uneven, where teams just can't fight.
My issue is all the clubs in the Premier League have money.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
The clubs need to spend their money better. We watched the Manchester United Arsenal game recently. Those clubs, I worked it out, I did some research. 2016-17 summer to now, between them, they'd spent £1 billion. And we got that terrible game.
Yeah.
I mean, you looked at both teams, and universally, Manchester United and Arsenal Sport was agreed. They weren't two good teams on the show. Now, for best part of £500 million each, in 3.5 seasons, some of those players they've bought, they've discarded already out of transfer loss. So if the club have a plan, if the club have the right people in charge and make the right signings in terms of identifying players, Leicester did it. Leicester won the league, the Premier League.
Yeah.
With a budget
but
doesn't compare. The world hasn't changed that much since Leicester bought Kante for €4 million. Bought Jamie Vardy in from the lower leagues. Players like Robert Hoof, who had been knocking around for a while and did a job. Wes Morgan, Danny Simpson, Fuchs. So what is the excuse for teams like Arsenal, Manchester United, Tottenham Hotspur? My team spent £60 million on Ndombele. They've spent allegedly another £50-60 on Lo Celso, we haven't seen yet. Other players have come and gone. I don't see the excuse. Football, there is.
Right,
three big clubs. Mm. And then the rest have to... Sevilla this year, perfect example. They had to sell players to bring players in.
Yeah.
So they had to sacrifice Ben Yedder. They would love to have kept Ben Yedder, but they needed to sell him and Sarabia to bring in enough money to generate, to build a stronger team and a stronger squad all around. Premier League clubs... No Premier League club has to do that. You know, they don't have to sell to raise money to bring other players in. And it's ridiculous. We see players in La Liga on loan from Premier League clubs that people in England have forgotten about, that shouldn't. You know, Guido Carrillo on loan at Leganés from Southampton.
Yeah,
they spent £20 million on him. He's never barely played for them.
I wonder how much he gets paid compared to everybody else.
Playing for Raya Vallecano
on
loan from Stoke. I remember these players signing and the big splash across Sky Sports News, the transfer window, deadline day. And then next thing you know, they're on loan at lower-level Spanish clubs where they're being... That club in particular paying a fraction of the wages of the player, and no one mentions it. Borja Baston came back to Spain, spent a couple of years barely getting a game. He's knocking a few goals in now for Swansea. But so that you could argue, I know this is this podcast is taking on a different angle.
Yeah, go on.
But the money is there in the Premier League. Yes, people make mistakes because it's the nature of buying players. There's no guarantees. You don't get a receipt. You can't get your money back. But they have to do it better than what they're doing. It's the one side of the game I'd love to get involved in.
Right, let's come back with more questions after a break. Right, welcome back. Don't forget to get in touch with us on Twitter. Send us messages to Terry at TerryGibson88. Use the La Liga weekly one as well. And one day I'll be allowed back on Twitter. And
start a campaign.
Yes, that's what we need.
I'm going to go and start protesting in Trafalgar Square. I'm going to get badges made up and banners and everything.
Careful, doing that. Yeah. anyway, let's not get political. Let's talk about let's talk about Barcelona. Do you think
exactly.
about... No. There are better people who know more about that than us. However, Pete asks us a good question. If you could sign back one Barca player that's left in the last 5 years, who would you get? He doesn't want. We're not allowed Neymar according to his rules. All right, Pete.
It wouldn't have been Neymar.
So Bartra, Deulofeu, Thiago, etc. So when this came through, I was thinking Thiago.
I was thinking Xavi. Iniesta.
I don't think he's not mentioned a magic aging potion or anything in this. So.
So I've got
one of the ones that they've sold, that they've let go. Right. So you think they're all fine? You wouldn't have Thiago. We're not tempted by Thiago.
No. I find it frustrating.
Yeah.
I think he had an opportunity to really push on. And there was big hopes that he was going to be a replacement for an Iniesta, Xavi. Possibly from his perspective, he made the right choice to move on.
Yeah.
To play for another massive club in Europe.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say Thiago's better than Arthur.
No.
I wouldn't say he's going to be better than he's better than the Young is going to be. So no, I wouldn't go Rafinha either.
No.
I'm not particularly sure that little list of Bartra, Delafeu, Thiago, Alcacer.
Would you have him back? He didn't fly.
Not
there,
Griezmann
did he?
Is there.
No.
I think he did all right when he played.
Yeah.
I can understand why he moved on, and he's done really well at Dortmund. I was thinking maybe of a replacement, the backup to Suarez, which he did, and he did well. Scored a goal in a Copa del Rey final, and Germany played well when he got the opportunity. But it's difficult to find that right type of player that's going to be happy to sit on the bench behind Suarez. Although I think that might change in the future because time doesn't stop for any player, and
Chigipta, I want to know what you think the best attack is for Barca at the moment. Doesn't have to be 3-2-1 whatever. For me, he says, it would be Dembele, Griezmann and Messi with Suarez as a super sub.
Do you know, I couldn't disagree with that.
Right.
I want to see consistency from Dembele.
Yeah.
I would prefer to see Griezmann playing up front.
Centre
forward.
Right, actually, right, okay. As the number nine, far as Barca ever have one.
But the issue now is Suarez is bloody awful outside the box.
Yeah.
But he's
finishing.
Oh, he's been finishing this season. Yeah. So every time you think that the ball goes up to Suarez and he tries to knock it past the defender and run him and he doesn't, or he miscontrols it and loses the ball and gives away possession, just when you're thinking, I wonder if it's time that they, you know, I know the partnership with Messi is there on and off the pitch, and then all of a sudden out of the blue he scores an unbelievable, and he's done it 4 or 5 times this season already. So ultimately that is the most important aspect of a striker's game. But with Suarez we've seen the whole package, haven't we, in the past, where he's finishing has been brilliant.
Yeah.
He's all round game more often than not. He's a slow starter at the start of the season. But in general, he's been one of the best centre-forwards in world football over the last decade. So it's a big call. I mean, he's the same age as Messi. But you're looking at the two of them, and we're not looking at Messi thinking he needs to slow down, he's lost a yard. Now, it can be for different reasons. Your body shape is different. Injuries play a part as well. We're seeing Ronaldo at 34 look in better condition than Suarez, if I'm being honest. But Griezmann, having brought Griezmann in, I kind of could see that. It needs a little bit of time, but I don't think it'll happen because of the Messi-Suarez partnership.
Coffee says, it's early days, but should Koulés be worried about Griezmann's form? And he moves on, is Dembele gradually becoming a liability for Barcelona? And another one, Semedo is the most improved player under Valverde, right or wrong? There are 3 questions.
Most improved player, Semedo. He has improved.
Yeah.
But I think that comes with the backing of the manager.
Yeah, I thought he was underused.
I don't think he's ever been particularly bad. I've found it frustrating that he hasn't nailed down that right-back position. I find it frustrating when Sergio Roberto's picked there ahead of him. Recently he's played left-back and played really well. But I think a full-back partnership of Alba and Semedo is the way forward for Barcelona. So I think he has improved. Whether he's the most improved, I'm trying to think who else you would compare him to. I think Arthur came in and did really well, didn't he, straight away. He probably is, if I'm being honest. Yeah, most improved. But because of the manager's backing, I think. Although I'm 100% convinced that Valverde is convinced that he is the first choice right back. It's still every now and then pops up and you see Sergio Roberto in a back four and you think, oh, he hasn't convinced the manager 100% yet.
Griezmann's form?
I think it's a concern, particularly the last game where I thought he was starved of possession. I thought he was ignored quite a lot by his teammates, which is a concern. I think he's staying too wide. He's reverting back to a position he hasn't played for 5 seasons.
Yeah.
And it's a totally different team. So he's playing as a left winger. The idea of a left winger at Barcelona is to come and play in field to allow the space for Jordi Alba when he's fit. And at times we're seeing Griezmann playing left wing, Jordi Alba, and they're clogging, they're getting crowded out. They're closing each other's space up. So I think it's taking time for him to adapt to this new role, new club, because he's been a centre-forward for Atletico Madrid. So hence the reason why, younger than Suarez, that's the way forward for Barcelona. So I wouldn't be too critical of Griezmann's form so far. He can do better, no doubt about that. But I won't be too concerned at the moment.
And Dembele?
I think he's got the capabilities to be a brilliant footballer, one of the best in the world. But the fluctuation in term, even in the same game, is. We say he's young, but Messi was achieving so much at this age.
Yeah.
No, I know Messi is a one-off, but Messi was winning the treble at the age of 21, 22.
Yeah.
And had already scored lots of goals. So he's young excuse we can't keep using.
He's immature, isn't he?
Is this his third season?
Yeah. Though? Yeah, he's immature. And
he makes the same mistakes. Yeah. I hope he can learn. He should learn quicker than what we're seeing at the moment. But honestly, he's breathtaking sometimes. Mm. The ease that he beats defenders, left-footed, right-footed, he's finishing. And then next thing you know, he gives away a six-yard pass when there's no reason whatsoever for him to lose concentration, give the ball away, then a failure to rectify his mistake in terms of enthusiasm to chase back and make a mistake, which everybody makes mistakes. Sometimes you see him give the ball away and he just jogs away. And he needs to be aware of that importance of keeping possession. No one has a problem when you're Dembele and you take defenders on and lose the ball. Messi does it as many times in a game as he is successful, but he's doing it in the right areas of the pitch. And you often see Messi when he loses the ball, quick 10-yard sprint to try and help out to win the ball back again. What they don't want to see is a player that's giving away cheap possession with a sloppy putt. This sloppiness, isn't it? At times,
I think that of Neymar as well.
Yeah,
I think he's never got over it, and he's not a kid anymore, Neymar, is he? And I still think he's. He just doesn't prize the ball enough.
Exactly, and particularly for Barcelona.
Yeah.
Who's, their game is still, although it's changed over the years, possession-based. It's a form of defending for Barcelona at times. They can keep the ball for 100 passes, keep it for 3 or 4 minutes, short, safe passing, movement off the ball, making angles. It starves the other team of the ball. Defenders at Barcelona not having to defend in their prime. That it was used as a way of defending the lead, just to starve the opposition of possession. At the moment, they can give it to Dembele. They could have kept it for 30, 40 passes, and he'll give it away with a soft 6-yard pass that's just straight to the opposition. So he needs. I really hope he does learn.
He's got
quickly.
To stop.
I'm not convinced he will though.
Lots of people have this tendency to think that things should come easy. If you're good at something, and something does come easily, you sometimes got to accept that there are times and moments in the course of something as chaotic as a football match where you just got to knuckle down.
Yeah, and concentrate on even the most simple things.
Yeah,
staying onside. Sometimes he hasn't even looked across the line. Mm. Sometimes he'll just make, as I say, this 6-yard pass, which any basic player from 14 years upwards can make, he gets wrong. So if he can eradicate that, he has the potential to be one of the best in the world.
Yeah,
I really do. So I feel it's too early for Barcelona to give up on him. He's still got to prove his worth to in the starting 11. But long term, he could be exactly what Barcelona need. I really hope he does rectify the simple mistakes he makes.
Vlado, what three teams would you like to be promoted from the Segunda? I'd quite like to see Depor back, but there's no chance of that, is there, in Malaga? But
They got troubles. I kind of like Cadiz.
Yeah, looking good, aren't they, as well?
Because of I've been to that ground a few times in the lower leagues, and the atmosphere is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, they did have a spell in the top division. I remember going there to watch Real Madrid, Robinho's first season. The place was electric. It's right on the beach. It's a sunny part of Spain. And you do get that vibrant atmosphere from a club that's a coastal in the southern Spain. So Cadiz would be a good. I want to see Zaragoza back in.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I'm looking at big clubs.
Yeah.
Cadiz can look like a big club. It won't be a 30,000 sellout every week. It'll be 15,000 stadium, sold out, great atmosphere. Zaragoza have got the fan base as well. Trying to think. Ultimately, the two you mentioned, Depor and Malaga. Oviedo would be another one that's well supported, that have had their struggles, and their rise back to the top has halted a little bit. So I think I wouldn't say we've had enough, but we have had enough, maybe, of the Eibar, Huesca.
Just too many at the same time, isn't it?
Too many at the same time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think genuinely it probably needs two or three. I mean, we've got Granada, decent support this year. Mallorca, decent support. have been in the top division in recent seasons, and Osasuna. So this year, three teams that we recognise that have been in the division in recent seasons have come up. It's great. The stories about Leganés and Huesca and Eibar, we treat as a established La Liga team now, don't we? But yeah, you're right. Maybe those three. I'm trying to think if there's any others that I missed that have come up and haven't survived. Remember Elche when they came up? That is a good stadium.
Yeah.
Big support.
Yeah. Just what atmosphere. And you want yeah. full seats. So you don't want to be looking, you know, because I watch it from England. You don't want to be looking at loads of empty seats week in, week out.
And also the smaller stadium.
Yeah, yeah. Or shoddy looking.
It gives it a look of...
It doesn't need to be
the same league that Real Madrid and Barcelona are playing in. For
it's the ones that look like someone's going to come on and do the pole vault at half time or something. That's what you don't want, isn't it? You want it to look Anoeta, the new Anoeta, whatever they call it now, brilliant this season.
Yeah.
So more of that.
Yes.
I don't want it. I don't. We don't need the official cactus water supply as we have in the Premier League, but I would like to see full stadiums that look like football stadiums.
Yes. I agree with that. Definitely.
Right. Good. Let's have a look at this weekend's La Liga football then. Yes, back no more international football, ladies and gentlemen. Richard.
You need sorting out, by the way.
Go on. Tell us that.
I very rarely do I miss a game of football on television or if I can get to a game. But I found it hard work, the qualifiers. Grateful to that I'm involved at Sky still doing a couple of games. But I'm looking at the groups, and I'm looking at the groups Spain are in. Four teams can go through to the European Championships.
Oh, because of the Nations League.
Yeah, Norway and Sweden are guaranteed a playoff. Romania could get best placed third position.
Yeah.
And Spain win the group. So only the Faroe Islands and Malta are not going to qualify from that group. Or possibly.
Potentially,
potentially.
Yeah.
So it's... Italy have run away with their group. There are two or three groups where it's interesting with the big clubs, big nations.
Ireland's group, because I did a game. I did Switzerland, Denmark. It's actually a good game.
Yeah.
Because it's genuinely competitive.
But we're not getting many matchups like Germany and the Netherlands are in the same group, aren't they? We're not getting many of them. So England's group has been
It's because
so dull.
Too many teams qualify. And when they make the World Cup, 48 teams, the World Cup qualifying. But
on the back of the Nations League as well.
That was better, though, wasn't it?
It was better, but I think an accumulation of the Nations League and the European Championships. And then I've looked at the finals, where the games are going to be played.
Oh, yeah, all over the shop.
I thought the qualification process was difficult, but the actual finals were literally all over Europe.
Oh, tell me about it.
Azerbaijan to London to Glasgow. Bilbao,
I mean, literally, my mate who I go,
Romania.
He's got tickets. He's got tickets one night for Copenhagen and the next day for Dublin. So you think, hang on, we're like, I mean, there is a flight, but it's not with a cheap airline or anything. So you think, that's going to cost us a fortune, you know. So. Anyway.
So back to club football.
Yes. So Richard says, how big is that South Madrid derby for Leganés on Saturday night? Braithwaite, who's actually the worst Denmark player, is the key to staying up, but sounds like attitude is not all there this season. If they lose, are they done? I mean,
No. Look at what happened to Valencia and Athletic Bilbao last season.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, one sacked their manager, one kept their manager, and then Athletic just missed out on the last day of the season, defeated Sevilla, cost them a Europa League spot. And Valencia somehow managed to scramble into fourth. So I'm not for one moment suggesting Leganés are going to qualify for Europe or have a chance. Mm. But I it was interesting that the supporters are backing the players. It's quite a unique football club. They're backing the manager. I actually think there's... I'm going to go out on a limb and say Leganés won't go down.
All right, OK. So Getafe...
Can we edit that?
Let's have a quick look at the best of the rest. Saturday is so it's big clubs at small clubs in a way. It's Eibar at home to Barca and Mallorca at home to Real Madrid. Obviously, Atletico Valencia doesn't fit in, so talking nonsense. big games that should be won by the big three there. Atletico should beat Valencia 1-0, shouldn't they, in the normal course of things?
If they can get the one.
Yeah, right, yeah.
They were pretty dull against Valladolid. Also, we have to bear in mind, I mean, not so much that game, because Valencia have had internationals away as well, but there are games where Eibar against Barca.
Yeah.
Eibar are going to have the 2 weeks preparation. I can't think of anyone who's been away on international duty to Barcelona, who players are going to be travelling back from South America, from all over Europe, battling their way through airports in Barcelona if they can get out the airports to the new camp. But joking aside, they're used to it, the Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid's players being in a way on international duty, but don't underestimate the advantage of a two-week preparation for an Eibar playing against Barcelona in their own stadium, where they had success last season for the first time ever against one of the big clubs. They'd never done it before, and then they thrashed Real Madrid at home. So that would give them belief. It was the only thing missing from Eibar's rise to prominence, that they couldn't... They had this reputation of doing everything else, but actually, every time Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid went there, we always expected a tough game, and it never materialised. Mm. Well, they beat Real Madrid last season, so... They'll be boosted by that, so don't underestimate. It's not a walkover by any means for Barcelona, that, particularly when you regard their away form so far this season.
So Sunday's games, then Alavés, Celta, the early one, Real Sociedad against Betis, the 1 o'clock UK time slot, Espanyol, Villarreal, who've got Giuseppe Rossi training for them. I noticed,
He's at Manchester United training last night. Yeah. It's been tough for him to get himself fixed up permanently.
But Santi Cazorla should be, if you need inspiration from anybody, he's your man, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, no, I'd love to see Rossi back.
I mean, what a brilliant player he was.
It's been too long now.
Yeah.
He was brilliant. Yeah. Him and Neymar up front for Villarreal were...
The season where he scored 30-odd goals.
He was great.
And Athletic Valladolid, Sevilla versus Alavés. So, hang on, that can't be right, because I've got Alavés twice. Who have I missed? Right, so...
Sociedad Betis. Every time I look at Betis, they're struggling.
Yeah.
And every time I look at them, they've got a tough game. So it's kind of hard to see them getting anything in that game, but Sociedad have struggled in the last two. So there's some good games again. Valladolid are a hard team to break down, and Athletic are finding goals hard to come by. So that's going to be an important game. Mallorca, Real Madrid. I would expect a Real Madrid win.
Mm. But you never know with Real Madrid.
No, so it's going to be an unpredictable weekend, which is what we were talking about at the start of the podcast, that this isn't the league 10 years ago where they never dropped a point, never lost a game, and then it all come down to the two Clásicos. So hopefully that's going to be the attraction to La Liga this season.
Right, well, those games will all be played this weekend, and then Terry and I will be talking about them, recording that conversation, and podcasting. Basically, that's the deal. Right, we'll see you for that.
That's the gig.
Yeah, bye-bye.